Support for this podcast comes from the Peabody Essex Museum, presenting Ethiopia at the Crossroads. On view now. Find out more about the exhibition at PEM.org.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Republicans smell opportunity in 2012, aiming for the White House. But who, with what agenda? A big sifting of the field this weekend with a straw poll in Ames, Iowa. Upstart Michelle Bachmann winning neck and neck with Ron Paul. Tim Pawlenty is gone. Texas Governor Rick Perry is in the race. Republicans have a chance, but do they have a winner with a winning vision? This hour on Point, the new GOP PAC and leaders after Ames. You can join the conversation. Are you ready to vote for faith, thrift, and small government? Who in this field would be the toughest challenger to President Barack Obama? You can comment at our website, On Point Radio. In a moment, we'll go to Texas and beyond, but here was, the winner by a nose in the Iowa straw poll.
Thank you for restoring the promise of the future to my children. Thank you that you restore greatness again to the United States. That's what we will do together.
Michelle Bachmann edging past Ron Paul with 152 votes. She took about 28% of the vote to his 29. Joining us right now from Des Moines, Iowa, where he's been right in the thick of it, is Jonathan Martin, senior political reporter at Politico. Jonathan, welcome back to the show. What did we all see this weekend, Jonathan?
Well, it was really the first kickoff of this presidential campaign, which has been a sleepy affair for some months now. You had three major events, really. You had Michelle Bachmann winning the straw poll in Ames on Saturday, cementing her status as the Iowa frontrunner. That same day, indeed that same afternoon, you had Rick Perry down in Charleston, South Carolina, launching his candidacy. And then lastly, you had Sunday morning Tim Pawlenty exiting the race after his disappointing third-place finish at the straw poll. So what you've really got now is a three-way race between Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, and, of course, Mitt Romney. And there are still plenty of remaining question marks, but it seems like it'll be those three for a while. The biggest issue to me right now is, what does Romney do? Does he let Bachmann and Perry fight it out in Iowa, or does he wade into Iowa and hope that there will be a path to win a plurality victory here with the conservative vote split up that can then let him win New Hampshire subsequently and wrap up this nomination? I think that quick strike possibility will be awfully tempting for Romney. Otherwise, he's going to look, I think, at a long slog fighting for delegates over some months.
Jonathan, it was not many months ago when I don't know anybody who would have thought that Michelle Bachmann, congresswoman from Minnesota, would have been at the front of the pack in a poll of these candidates. What does it say to you? What does it mean that she's done it, and how big a deal is it that she's done it? After all, it's just a straw poll. It's a poll, but a straw poll.
Yeah. You know, we have to be careful here because there were 17,000 people there on Saturday who voted. The caucuses will probably have about 130, 150, something like that. So this is not the caucus. It's not the entire GOP of this state. But there's no question that Michelle Bachmann is a charismatic figure who I think has really taken advantage of this moment in the Republican Party. The Republican Party is deeply contemptuous of President Obama. They're outraged about the level of federal spending. And she really played to that. And I think especially given what was the central issue in the weeks leading up to the straw poll, raising the debt ceiling, she really ran her campaign here in the last few weeks entirely on her opposition to raising the debt ceiling. And it's no coincidence that every member of the Iowa delegation, Democrat and Republican, voted against raising that debt ceiling. It was a fantastic issue for her at just the right time.
And she wants to roll back all the Obama platform. Here she was celebrating the morning after on Fox News Sunday.
As nominee of the Republican Party, I will work tirelessly to make sure that I can help elect also an additional 13 senators to come with me to Washington, because I would like to get to that magic number of 60 so we can be filibuster-proof in the Senate and retain a conservative House. If we do that, then we can repeal Obamacare and repeal Dodd-Frank.
There it is, Michelle Bachmann, the morning after. Jonathan Martin, what about Rick Perry, Texas governor? He's coming this weekend, as you say. Is this really a game changer or, you know, just noise for a weekend?
Well, there's no question. He made a huge splash this week. I was in Waterloo last night, Michelle Bachmann's hometown, where he chose to make his Iowa debut. And I tell you, for somebody who was making his first foray into Iowa, he didn't need any lesson about how to retail campaigning in this state. He came in early. He worked the room table to table at a county GOP dinner. He sat through a long list of speakers, as these dinners tend to have before the actual main event. He had a hug and a kiss for women, gave the guys a firm handshake, and a pat on the back, posed for every picture that was asked. He did what you're expected to do in this state. His stump speech was good. I wouldn't say it was great, but it was good. And he hit all the right notes talking about his roots as a farmer and a rancher, which, of course, goes over well here in this ag state. So I think he's got real potential. We'll know in the next 30 days if Perry's for real. Financially, we'll have a sense of how much money he can raise out of the gate. And then secondly, we'll see him on the stump, and we'll see if he's connecting with voters. So we're going to have, I think, some clarity here by the time September is done.
Charisma is playing a role here, a Texas record that will be debated for as long as he's in the race. Republicans smell opportunity here. Jonathan Martin, though, they want to put forward the candidate that can win, that can beat Barack Obama. Do you think they've got it in their bouquet here?
And therein lies the challenge. It's always the head versus the heart. And I think it's difficult to get a candidate that I think appeals to both. And they're looking for that person. Romney, I think, appeals to people's sensibilities as a general election candidate. This is somebody that could be a strong messenger on jobs, could appeal to folks in purple states and blue states. But I think Perry and Bachmann are much more appealing at the gut level. You know, they really do have the ability to connect with the conservative base of the party for different reasons. Now, the $10 million question is, can Perry bridge both wings of the party? Can he get to the movement conservatives who really care about cultural issues, and can he also appeal to the establishment wing of the party? He's been able to do that in Texas, been very successful there as governor for the last decade. This is a much, much more demanding stage. He's never played at this level, and I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how he navigates through this crucible. I think he's potentially a formidable opponent to Romney, but again, he never played in Yankee Stadium. He's been playing in Columbus for the last 10 years.
Let's take that question to Texas. Jonathan Martin, stand by there in Des Moines. Before we go south, here's Rick Perry, well, also south in Charleston, South Carolina, on Saturday, announcing his candidacy for the presidency.
I'm a Texan, I'm proud of it. But first and foremost, I'm an incredibly proud American. And I know something. America is not broken. Washington, D.C. is broken.
Rick Perry entering the race on Saturday. Joining us now from Austin, Texas, is Paul Burka, senior executive editor at Texas Monthly Magazine. He's covered Texas politics for a long, long time. His article in this month's issue is Dear Yankee, 8 Things You Ought to Know Before You Start Writing Stories About Rick Perry. That tickled us. Paul Burka, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Number one on your list, he's not George Bush. Why?
That is number one, absolutely. Just because George Bush was a Texas governor, and you know, wears boots and has a swagger, and Perry has those things too. Perry is a very different politician. Perry, when Bush came out, he postured himself as a uniter, not a divider. Perry is exactly the opposite kind of politician. He is a divider, not a uniter. And you saw that in his prayer event in Houston. It was for Christians only. And Perry is, he has his constituency. He sticks with that constituency. He's going to run with the Tea Party, the evangelicals, and the South. And Perry does not yield. He does not. He never moves away from his conservative roots, and very conservative roots.
So you're saying he would make George W. Bush look moderate?
Absolutely. Perry is the real deal. He wrote a book or had a book published under his name called Fed Up. And he laments he thinks the New Deal was a huge mistake. He has come out publicly in the past for letting the states handle Social Security. This is the person that the extreme Republican base, who everything rolled back, that's their dream.
Paul, your fellow Texan Molly Ivins coined the nickname for him, Governor Good Hair. He's got one of those fine heads of hair. But you say, another on your list, Perry is not a male hair model.
No, he's not. He does get chided about that in Texas a lot by people who don't like him. And there's a substantial contingency of people here, and not just Democrats, who don't like Perry. He's not that popular in the legislature. But the reason is he's the most powerful governor Texas has ever had. He's the first governor who has actually acted as a chief executive and runs everything.
You say Rick Perry is a hard man. He's the kind of politician you write who would rather be feared than loved or even respected, Paul.
Yes. Yes. He just wants to win. This man is relentless. I don't think Bachmann and Romney have a clue of the intensity with which Perry is driven politically.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the new GOP PAC and leaders after Ames, after the straw poll, Michelle Bachmann's win, Rick Perry's entrance, and the Republican contenders for the presidential nomination. Jonathan Martin is with us. Senior political reporter at Politico joins us today from Des Moines, Iowa. From Austin, Texas, Paul Burka is here, senior executive editor at Texas Monthly. His big article in the current issue there is Dear Yankee, 8 things you ought to know before you start writing stories about Rick Perry, and we will hear more. You can join us this hour. What do you make of the straw poll? Bachmann and Ron Paul, neck and neck for the win. Michelle Bachmann with the victory. What do you make of Texas Governor Rick Perry jumping in? How's he look to you? Where's all this leave Mitt Romney? And is the GOP heading toward picking a strong contender, a contender that can win? 800-423-8255 is our number. There's a lot more we want to learn, but first a call from Iowa, where the poll took place. Jeff, thanks for calling. Iowa City, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I believe the media has given Ron Paul a short shrift. There's parts, he almost won, like 150 votes away, and he's almost dropped out of most of the commentary. And I think he represents a major part that's not being talked about. He is the best on the number one issue, which is the wars.
Stop him.
Yes, he's absolutely opposed to them. You want to cut the budget. There's like trillions. And I would say domestic policy, he's against the war on drugs, which is something just not being talked about enough.
So, Jeff, we hear you grabbing onto the libertarian side of Ron Paul. Hey, fair enough. He was just a nose, a whisker behind Michelle Bachmann, and let's hear him right here, the flagship libertarian. This is at an outdoor rally on Saturday, saying the mainstream has shifted in his favor.
It's interesting that now they're starting to talk about us being mainstream. And they imply sometimes in fun that, have I gone mainstream? Am I starting to talk to the mainstream? No, but I think the mainstream have come in our direction.
It's Jonathan Martin there in Iowa, in Des Moines. What do you make of Ron Paul's strong showing there?
Well, I think the caller capture is part of the reason why Ron Paul has a ceiling within the GOP. What appeals to callers like that of Ron Paul's opposition to interventionism abroad and his opposition to the drug war at home,
yep,
is part of the reason why he's seen as a fringe figure within mainstream GOP circles. And that's why in a straw poll environment with 17,000 Iowans showing up, where you can basically bus in folks and pay for their tickets and feed them and really wire the event, he can do well. And there's no question, by the way, that he is a stronger and broader foundation this time around than 4 years ago, in part because of his fiscal message. But because of where he is on foreign policy and on drug issues, he's just always going to have a problem running under the Republican tent. And it frustrates folks like your caller, but most mainstream Republicans just aren't there with his libertarianism when it comes to foreign policy and the drug war.
Hey, Jonathan, we've got to let you go in a moment, but what do you think? Is this the field, or could somebody else still come in? There's talk this morning of Chris Christie, the conservative New Jersey governor.
Yeah. I think we're going to see plenty of more pining as the weeks go by, and even after Labor Day. I think Sarah Palin could potentially get it. You just never know what she's thinking, and I think that would make Iowa very interesting, or even more interesting. But as far as Chris Christie or Paul Ryan, it does seem unlikely, especially if Perry catches fire. If voters have an option between a Perry, a Romney, and perhaps a Bachman, I don't think you're going to see space for anybody else. But again, politics moves awfully fast nowadays, so stay tuned. But I think this weekend has gone quite some distance to really shaping this race, much more so than we've seen in the past 6 months.
Jonathan Martin with Politico in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks so much for being with us, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Burka in Austin, Texas. You know Governor Rick Perry well. Put him up against Michelle Bachman. Put him up against Mitt Romney. How do you see those contests likely unfolding?
Perry is going to go head-to-head against Bachman, and I think that's what he did last night in Iowa from all the descriptions that I've heard.
Already right there, kind of in her face, in her hometown the day after her victory.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things Perry does, is that he is the toughest guy in an election. He's never lost an election, which is something I think that the Republican voters will like. He went through a year here in Texas where he had a tremendously difficult primary race against sitting U.S. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, mm-hmm. and he annihilated her. And that was followed by a race for governor against Democrat Bill White, who had been mayor of Houston, who was very popular, and he annihilated Bill White. It was closer than the Hutchison race, but the guy is 24/7 on politics. I was saying when we had the break that people don't realize how completely driven Perry is, and that there's no laid back elements in him. Although the description of his working the room that we had from Iowa, that's vintage Perry. He's very good one on one, but he is going to be a relentless opponent to these people, and he is mean. He is tough, and I really think that he is what the Republican base has been waiting for, is somebody who's going to bring excitement and this sort of relentless pursuit of Barack Obama into the race.
Mean, tough, and relentless out of Texas with Governor Rick Perry. Paul Burka, stand by there in Austin. Kellyanne Conway joins us now from New York. Republican pollster, president, and CEO of the polling company Woman Trend. She's worked on a lot of Republican campaigns. Co-author with Democratic strategist Celinda Lake of What Women Really Want. Kellyanne Conway, welcome back to On Point. It's great to hear from you again.
And it's wonderful to be with you, Tom. Hi.
Hi. What do you make of the field shaping up here? Michelle Bachman's victory in Iowa, Rick Perry's entrance into the race, Mitt Romney watching all this.
I think it's tremendously exciting, and it speaks really to the breadth and the strength of the Republican Party. That Big Ten has gotten larger and larger and larger, even as I think the Democratic primary races seem to get more and more narrow. None of them are allowed to be pro-choice. None of them are allowed to question same-sex marriage. None of them are allowed to really deviate from a lot of the Democratic talking points, and you saw that with Obama and Hillary a couple short years ago. I welcome competition. I think that 2012, this Republican presidential race in 2012, is much like the races in 2010, Tom, which is to say that you had a lot of folks who people said were the front runners, deep pockets, high name ID, he can win, he can win, he can win. And then even in the case of just the United States Senate, you had eight of the Senate candidates that were endorsed by the party, by the committee, in Washington lost. And so you saw many surprises in many different states. You have 87 new freshman members of the House. And I think that that means that the same voters who came out in 2010 would be poised to shake up this race again and again. I think this year is different for a very important reason. I was surprised Governor Pawlenty pulled out yesterday for a very, very significant reason, and that is that this year is different. You know, in the past, Ames has had a very cruel winnowing effect of the field, but let's face it, there are 18 more Republican presidential debates in front of us, only two down, 18 to go. This gives each of those candidates, front runners, middle runners, and those at the bottom of the pack, an equal chance to stand shoulder to shoulder, free, no cost necessary, with the others on a stage and really take their case directly to the voter. And there are alternative ways for these candidates to communicate with voters. So I think some of the fundamentals that have always been the cost of admission and the staying power for candidates, the ability to raise money, the ability to place well in this particular straw poll, those are still important, but they're not as essential. And I was surprised that he pulled out. I'm not surprised that others won't.
Kellyanne, let me ask you. You were saying, I'm sorry, Kellyanne.
All these candidates have one thing in common, and it's why they're there. They are taking it frontally and unapologetically to Barack Obama's record. He has a 39% approval rating, according to Gallup, now the lowest of his presidency, 54% disapprove. And that's why I think this field is so robust.
Kelly, when it comes to the general election, what about there? You're describing the Democrats as having a kind of narrow, rigid test for who can lead. But, you know, the opposite of that, people might say, well, you know, if you're not anti-abortion, if you're not against same-sex marriage, and certainly on taxes, if you don't pass a litmus test, there's no way you get out front of these conservative Republican primary voters. Does that ensure, or does that lean the GOP toward a candidate who may be too rigidly boxed by conservative dogma for the general election, Kelly?
Oh, you know, that to me is a slogan. That was a soundbite that Debbie Wasserman Schultz could have delivered. We call ourselves pro-life, not anti-abortion.
Well, you saw Fox News ask if any of them would accept a 10-to-1, you know, spending cuts to tax hike deal with Obama, and no one on the debate stage last week didn't agree with that.
Yes, and do you know why? Because the majority of Americans are against those tax increases as well. Nobody believes that the government doesn't have enough money, Tom. They believe that there's not enough courage in Washington, D.C., particularly in the White House, to make these fundamental reforms to our entitlement system and to find other ways to cut these expenses. The average household has had to do this for three straight years now, and somehow Washington, with that much more money, can't do it. But look, this is the thing. We can talk about rigid and extreme and everything all we want. Really, you know, that's again, David Axelrod, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they always seem to speak in that language. America's not buying it. Tried that in 2010. And it didn't work.
So who do you go for, Bachman?
In 2012, really, the extremist here is a president who just seems to have his priorities askew. They're
Kelly, analyze for us. Who do you go for, Bachman or Romney or Perry or somebody else? Who do you think would have the best shot and the best agenda?
Well, I think any of them. It might be a little bit more difficult for Governor Romney, though, because there is still some dissatisfaction. Not in the hard right, in the center right, with, you see all these, if you go on YouTube, you can see all these clips of him saying, I will protect a woman's right to choose. I will not waver on that. And he goes on and on and on about consent in the state of Massachusetts. And he attacked Ronald Reagan when he was debating Ted Kennedy. And people will, look, Republican primary voters will have to decide, were these, quote, youthful indiscretions, or does he look like he looks now? In other words, it looks like a recent Mitt Romney saying it. And they'll make that case. But it's also not clear that the sort of just the straight line business experience, I've created jobs, I've balanced the books, I have had to negotiate and compromise so I can be Barack Obama and I can be a leader for the party. That may all be true, but it seems that there's a real hunger, Tom, for a candidate who will be a little bit more ideological. And Politico is an excellent piece today by Glenn Thrush, Jonathan Martin's colleague, talking about Obama's vision problem. And there's a quote in there from a Democrat, from somebody who supported Hillary. And that person said, look, Obama's problem is that he didn't run on ideology. He ran on biography. America elected him because of his biography and because of hope and change. This is from a Democrat. And he doesn't have ideology necessarily. So I think that on the Republican side, ideology is going to be welcome, meaning somebody who can say, this is what I believe, and this is what I've always believed, and this is what I will do. So at least you'll have this contrast. I think any of the three you mentioned, Romney, Perry, Bachman, sound asleep on the worst day, would be a better president than Barack Obama.
Kellyanne, hold the thought right there. I want to take that to Paul Burkett, and we've got a lot of callers here as well. Hang in there, Kellyanne Conway. Robert in Bethel, Vermont, you're on the air, Robert.
Oh, hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well.
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to share this with everyone. I was born into a family of Catholics and Republicans, 10 of us.
Okay.
And I compare a lot of parallels, the Republican Party to the Catholic Church. The Republicans just assuming that we're going to follow like sheep. I totally disagree with Carolyn, who was just on.
Kellyanne.
The political
Conway.
Mesopotamia of the independent voters is where I think the richness of the American, the true American person is, not in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I lived in Boston for 20 years. The Republican Party, we had Weld, Salucci. They have no unity. They have no ground, people on the grounds to continue to bring people into the party, and they don't deserve my vote.
But hey, Robert, but look at the Tea Party enthusiasm and numbers coming out this year and results in Congress over the last 2 years. Maybe things have changed. Maybe they want exactly what they're rallying for there.
Well, I'm praying to God that a independent person, I don't know who he is, where he is, male, female, erupts right in the middle of Republican Democratic Party and rocks the nation with a new leadership. Because either one of the parties deserve, whether it be a Democrat or Republican, they don't deserve my vote.
Robert, I appreciate your call. Let me take it to Paul, if I may, first, Kellyanne. I'll come right to you. Paul Burka, what about it? When we get to the general election, you describe Rick Perry, if he should be the one, as unyielding, you know, relentless and very strong on Republican ideology. Kellyanne says it's the time for that. That's what's missing from the Barack Obama recipe. But is it open enough to the mass to win in a general election, Paul?
Yes,
well,
you know that
I think that's a good question. And the thing that I see is that Perry is going to be a very strong primary candidate. I think he's got an excellent chance to win the nomination. I think that some of the weaknesses of Romney were made apparent in the last discussion. But in general election, you've got a governor here who spoke in Texas of secession, I think rather famously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the states that Perry has to win were on the winning side in the Civil War and fought for the Union. I think that that Perry has said at Tea Party rallies, you know, if you're extremists, I'm for you. That was another one of his famous quotes. I mean, he's really, and I don't mean to underestimate him as a politician. This mm-hmm. is a guy who's never lost.
Mm-hmm.
He's legendary here for his political instincts and abilities. But whether he can do it in a general election atmosphere and be faithful to his positions is going to be the question.
Kellyanne Conway, speak to us about that general election. Whoever gets through here, what's the message do you think that can bridge from the fervor that you describe, which is potent right now, and we see it in this straw poll on the right, and what we've typically seen in American general elections, which is a taste for something a bit more moderate?
Yeah, well, this election is going to be what every re-election is for every single presidential president, whether they're Democrat or Republican, which is it's a referendum on the incumbent. People will decide whether Barack Obama deserves to keep his job for another 4 years or not. Rather than this be about hope and change and biography and making history and being all dewy-eyed, it's going to be about whether people feel that $1.1 trillion in Obamacare that nobody asked for, that's less popular now than the day it passed 18 months ago, which is saying something, whether they think the stimulus actually worked with 9.2% unemployment and much higher among younger people and much, much higher among blacks in this country, if they think the stimulus worked, if they think the bailouts were worth it, if they think that going over to Oslo or Copenhagen, whatever it was, three times to sell the Olympics for Chicago to pick up a Nobel Peace Prize, yet never once going to Israel as president, president. That's what they're going to look at. This election is going to be about Barack Obama. We can use these incendiary terms to describe the Republican field. We can try to cut them down. We can try to make Michelle Bachmann look like some a freakazoid, crazy woman who...
We're just looking straight at it, Kellyanne. We're up against a break, and we appreciate your being with us. Kellyanne Conway, CEO of Woman Trend, thanks for joining us. Thanks very much. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new GOP PAC and leaders after Ames, after the straw poll, Michelle Bachmann's win there, Rick Perry, Governor Rick Perry's entrance out of Texas, and the Republican contenders now for the presidential nomination. Paul Burka joins us from Austin, Texas, senior executive editor at Texas Monthly. Here was Michelle Bachmann on ABC's This Week yesterday saying voters connect with her authenticity.
What people see in me is that I'm a real person. I'm authentic. And they want someone who's going to go to Washington and represent their values. That's really what you saw here in Iowa in the straw poll yesterday. You saw a big message sent to Washington. People really saw the kind of the punch to the gut that America got this last week. And they really want someone that they can trust, that they believe in, who's actually going to turn the economy around.
Michelle Bachmann, the day after her straw poll victory. And here's Texas Governor Rick Perry in New Hampshire after announcing his candidacy for the nomination, talking with Granite State voters, New Hampshire voters, about what he would and would not compromise on.
There are certain values that you don't compromise. I mean, there are certain things in my life. I'll tell you, for instance, my faith is something I'm not going to compromise.
We'll go in just a moment to Bob Schrum. But Paul Burka, what about Rick Perry and faith? As you say, he had this big religious kind of a prayer meeting just a week and a couple of days ago. Very upfront, and he said he's not going to compromise. You heard him right there on his faith, and he's got some strong positions on faith. What does that mean in a presidential candidate?
Well, it was certainly a very successful event, and I think what Perry did was position himself to be the candidate of the evangelicals, and I think that will be the case. But I think it was disturbing to some people and got a lot of play here and I guess around the country as well, that some of the people who were invited to speak had some very extreme views on faith. And I don't throw that word around lightly here, because at least as it applies to religion, but it was protested. There were a lot of people who were concerned about its exclusivity.
One of the people there was Reverend John Hagee,
yes,
pastor of Cornerstone Church. Now, this is the pastor that John McCain, whose endorsement John McCain rejected in 2008 after he suggested the Holocaust was a divine plan. He compared Rick Perry to Abraham Lincoln at that meeting.
And I don't know if it was Hagee, but it was one of the people who was involved. Said that Katrina was God's judgment on New Orleans, the hurricane, because New Orleans is a city that has a large gay population. So Rick Perry is very comfortable with those people.
Does he reach out to people who don't share that faith or that fervor, or is it just my way or the highway on faith?
The truth is, I can't really answer that. I think his faith is genuine. Whether it's my way or the highway, I don't think Perry would write off Muslims or Jews. I don't think that's what it's about. But I don't think Perry is afraid either of saying, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Take it or leave it. I'm not going to change. And I think that's true in politics, Perry's politics, and I think it's true about the way he governed in Texas, and I think it's true of faith. He was not going to be cowed by people who say, "Oh, look, this was a terrible thing to do," to have this kind of gathering. Perry's history in Texas is he does what he wants to do, and he doesn't care if he's criticized. he just does it. He goes right ahead, and sometimes it, you know, it drives people crazy, and sometimes it's admirable. But he does what he wants to do. He has a you may think, well, he's been governor, and he doesn't have people who really know national politics. Not true at all. That group has been together for 10 years. You've got Dave Carney, who's New Hampshire savvy. They are fully capable of running a national race.
And here he comes into the race.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Burka, standby in Austin. Joining us right now from Los Angeles is Bob Schrum, senior fellow at New York University's Wagner School of Public Service. He was senior advisor to the Kerry Edwards campaign for the presidency, to the Gore presidential campaign, all kinds of Democratic campaigns over many decades now, author of No Excuses, Confessions of a Serial Campaigner. Bob Schrum, welcome back to One Point. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
What do you make of the Republican field shaping up as challengers to Barack Obama?
I think Romney is paying a huge price for having just tried to hold on to his front runner status, not give people a big reason to invest in him. I think that's what's helped bring Perry into the race, along with the perception that there's a chance that the president can be beaten. I don't think Michelle Bachmann, in the end, can win the Republican nomination. I kind of wish she could. I don't really, because it wouldn't be good for the country, but it would be good for the Democratic Party. In the end, it looks to me like Perry, who entered with a real burst of energy in the last few days, has a real chance to win this nomination. I think he's a stronger primary candidate than he is general election candidate. I think his comments that Social Security and Medicare are unconstitutional, states ought to be able to opt out, will be a real problem for him. I think that there will be a real examination of his record in depth in Texas, and it may turn out that the Texas miracle under Perry is a little bit of a mirage. And finally, the issue you were just talking about, the whole cultural sense of cultural issues,
mm-hmm.
I think he will have trouble doing what Bush did in 2000, which was give this sense of moderation, might not have been true, but give this sense of moderation to become competitive in some of the states that are not at the heart of that kind of social conservatism. You talked about the Reverend John Hagee, for example.
Mm.
Not only did he say what you quoted him as saying about the Holocaust, he's also called the Catholic Church a cult. Associating with those kinds of folks isn't going to help him. I do think, however, that the heart of a Democratic campaign has to be Obama going out there, defining the ground, giving people a reason why he should be reelected, having a narrative that explains where we are and where we can go, and then pushing off against his opponent, and not just on social issues, but on those kind of heartland economic issues and on things like Social Security and Medicare.
There, the window of opportunity in the Republican field, but Barack Obama with the challenge as well. Bob Schrum, Paul Burka, standby. Kathleen in Georgetown, Kentucky. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I strongly disagree with Kellyanne, who says that the Republican choices thus far are robust. I guess it would depend on her definition of robust. They just seem to be, you know, more of the same. They're extremely far right, in my opinion. That said, I'm a diehard Democrat who will vote for Barack Obama again, even though I'm one of those Democrats who is not happy with him most of the time. And I'd like to hear from your Democratic strategist
mm-hmm.
how he thinks, he touched on it a little bit, how he thinks Obama can get his message out a bit more. I live in a state that does not really like Barack Obama. I work as a pharmacy tech, and I have been amazed at the number of people who do not understand some of the really good things in the healthcare initiative that he put forth, such as allowing college-age students to stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26.
Mm-hmm.
I inform people of these things all the time on my job, and they have no idea. And I'd like to hear how the strategist thinks the Democrats can get Obama's message out more.
Well, let us take a look at it, Kathleen. Let us go straight to it. I mean, we want to look at Republicans here, but Bob Schrum, give it a minute. You began on it, but here comes the Republican field. Those out front are those with a very tough line here, and a lot of Republicans in the base are excited about that. President Obama last week on his trip to Michigan said there's nothing wrong with our country. There's something wrong with our politics. Is that a winning message, Bob?
I think for the first time last week, you saw the president, for the first time in a long time, you saw the president as the Barack Obama of 2008, out there beginning to define the terms of the race, beginning to draw the dividing lines. I think that's what he has to do. I think when Congress comes back, he has to ask them to put country first, have a real economic plan. If they don't pass it, that's their problem. It's also America's problem, by the way. But he has to make clear that he's out there fighting for ordinary, hardworking, and out-of-work Americans. I think that he's had so many things thrown at him as president that the critique that we heard of him in 2008 has actually been reversed. Everybody said, or his critics said, he was going to be all speech and no substance. He's been mostly a substance and very little speech. It's time for the speeches again. It's time to communicate with people.
Here's Rick Perry. This was on April 9th. Amid controversial federal bailouts for states. He was endorsing a resolution supporting Texas state sovereignty, but a speech Perry gave caused many to ask whether the government was threatening outright secession.
I believe the federal government has become oppressive. I believe it's become oppressive in its size, its intrusion in the lives of its citizens, and its interference with the affairs of our state. Texans need to ask themselves a question. Do they side with those in Washington who are pursuing this unprecedented expansion of power? Or do they believe in individual rights and responsibilities laid down in our foundational documents? Where are you going to stand?
Individual rights and responsibilities, Rick Perry's big theme. What about the jobs issue, Paul Burka? He's saying 40% of the jobs made in the last couple of years made in Texas and claiming that as a big feather in his cap. Critics are saying it's a myth to describe it that way. What do you see, Paul?
Well, you know, first of all, Texas had a robust economy before Rick Perry was elected. It will have a robust economy after Rick Perry was elected. And the reason is that we are rich in natural resources. We have advantages that very few other states have.
Oil, number one.
Oil, natural gas, yes. We've done a lot with wind power. I think we're ahead of everybody else in wind power. But this is going to be argued about. But I don't think that, you know, you've had the numbers say that Texas has created more jobs than all the other states combined in the last year. And so I don't see how you can argue with the numbers. And I'm not here to cheerlead for Rick Perry. Governor Perry and I have certainly had our differences.
Mm-hmm.
But he has made jobs his first priority, and the numbers bear him out. Now, there's another way to look at all this, which is many of the jobs are not very good jobs. They're in call centers. They're in minimum wage jobs. Texas has more minimum wage jobs than any other state. Still, people are working. And we have a lot of people here in Texas who are poor. We have, of course, a lot of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd rather have them working in a minimum wage job than sitting around not working. And so you can certainly criticize the jobs issue and say, well, they're not very good jobs, but that's pretty snobbish or elitist if you're looking at the people who actually have those jobs.
Well, I mean, elitist, I get it. It is one way of putting it. Another perspective might be we want this country to have better jobs than that. But let's hear from our listeners. Owensboro, Kentucky. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm afraid that some of your callers have it wrong. Michelle Bachmann is right where America is right now at the moment. America's primary concern is to make Barack Obama a one-term president.
Well, who America? His popularity rating is low right now, but he's got his supporters too. You were hearing from them today. Who do you think Bachman's the one, or Perry, or Romney? From your perspective, Mark.
To be honest with you, I believe that any of them could take down Barack Obama right now, including Ron Paul. But I do believe that Bachman has the best chance right now. At the moment, he's tapped into the sentiment to make Barack Obama a one-term president, and I believe that that will carry the day in the end.
That's her message, loud and clear, and you hear it reflecting right there, Bob Schrum. What about the jobs creation record claims out of Texas? Rick Perry's anxious to run on that. He's talking a lot about it already, and Americans are certainly hungry, Bob, for jobs.
Yeah, I think Paul is half right on what he said. I think that when people say, well, they're minimum wage jobs, Perry's going to turn around and say, well, there are jobs. And in a lot of parts of this country, there aren't. But I also think it's not elitist, it's aspirational to say that what we want to create in this country are jobs that let people move up and move ahead. And I think a state that, for example, ranks last in the percentage of families with health insurance and the percentage of children with health insurance, I think that's part of the record, too, and I think that'll be discussed. So I don't think the jobs issue can be written off for Perry. I think it's going to be very look in the Republican primaries. There's going to come an amazing moment, I think, where Perry's going to look at Romney in a debate, and he's going to say, "I'm the job creator. In private business, you were the job destroyer." And I didn't think that issue would be salient against Romney or all that salient in the primaries. I think with the entry of Perry, it will be. And I think it'll be a very interesting contest.
Paul Burkey, when that moment comes, and Mitt Romney, and he's already kind of putting out there, I'm the businessman, Governor Perry's been in government, in politics for many years. How do you think Rick Perry will deal with that argument from Mitt Romney, Paul?
Well, I think Perry's going to say, I've created more jobs than you have. There'll be all that, I can, whatever you can do, I can do better. And I think then Romney will answer back that the jobs that are produced in Texas aren't very good, and that there are a lot of other problems that Texas has in state government. Bob Schrum mentioned one of them was that we have the largest number of families without health insurance. We also have the largest number of adults without high school diplomas. It's another. The state services in Texas are not very good. Mm. They're just not. The education system is not. All of that is going to be introduced, and Perry's record in Texas is very definitely going to come under scrutiny.
And with that, you see the bones of this campaign coming straight at us. Paul Burka with the Texas Monthly, thanks for joining us, and Bob Schrum, thanks to you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.